بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islam Today program and the Dawah workshop in conjunction with the Muslim Student Association, the MSA, at USC, University of Southern California. We're working together for a day-long project to share information about Dawah. The first and foremost thing to do is to define what is the word Dawah. What are we talking about here? That's an Arabic word. I don't know what that is. So we need to look into that. What is Dawah? Okay. If we look it up in the dictionary, in the Arabic dictionary, we're going to find that it actually comes from a word that means basically to invite. It is to call to or to invite to something. And kind of important for us to know that this means, in relation to what we'll be talking about, the call or the invitation to Islam. We should first mention that because we said that this is something in Arabic, the dawah or the call or invitation to Islam, we might ascertain whether or not this is something incumbent or an order on us to do, and what's the proof for it. And the answer to that would be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. The translation of the English language of the surah might be as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is saying in His book that verily, and He's swearing by the passage of time, this is meaning an amazing thing that we don't even understand. We have something called a time piece, and we can make that, but we can't make time. We can't make the sun freeze. And we can't make it speed up, and so therefore, we just are subject to what time is and try to define it. And yet Allah swears by it, and He says that for sure all of the human beings, the insan, are in a state of great loss. And the word here, khus, means bankruptcy. No, we can't pay bills. And on the day of judgment, that's a really bad day not to be able to pay bills. Meaning that the person in the ins or insan are all destined for hell. Then he uses the word that we really need to hear coming up. It's called illa, with the exception of, because if he would not put that word illa in there, we'd be fried. So he says illa, except for those who come through the right belief, which is the iman in Allah. And then they do the amal or the deeds or actions of the salihat, which is the righteousness. And then, and this is the part we want to focus on today, and they encourage and exhort each other to haqq. What is haqq? Haqq here means the truth of la ilaha illallah. It means the Islam itself. It's referring to Islam as a whole. So we invite and encourage one another to all that Islam stands for. And then it continues to wassail, be subtle, and to invite, to encourage, invite each other to be steadfast and patient. So this is, I ask Allah forgive me for a poor translation, but this is more or less the way to understand it in Texas English. I would like to also add that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a number of verses in His book, and to just touch on a little bit more, He also says, "Kuntin khayrun ummatin ukhrijat lin-nasi ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanha 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." And this, in Surah Al-Imran, verse, that's chapter 3, verse 110, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that the best Kaira, good, the goodest, Texas goodest works, that all. And the best of these people who do what. Well, again, I'm going to have to give you what the text here says about this. It says, you're the best of people because you enjoin al ma'ruf and you forbid al munkar. Well, put me in the bila and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means, actually, it meaning implies that you go around doing it. You go around doing this. It's not just that you sit there on your sofa. You are out there moving and hustling, and you're calling the people to this ma'ruf, and you're forbidding munkar. Again, you need to give the tafsir, not the translation, because it said ma'ruf, it means good things, and munkar means bad things. But specifically, according to the tafsir of the Quran, it said in this case, ma'ruf means everything that Islam stands for, just as earlier al-haq stood for everything that Islam stands for. Likewise, that everything here meaning munkar is referring to anything that takes people away from Islam. To be sure that we have that meaning. Why? Because otherwise you could just say, well, I call people good things. I say, why don't you clean up the yard? That's a nice thing to do today. Or, you know, why don't you polish the silverware? Or, you know, these are nice things to do. And he said, and to forbid munkar. When he said anything bad, well, you know, a bad thing might be to let food sit out and rot. That'd be a bad thing. But that's not what the ayahs are talking about here. I mean, the proof, we need some proof. Well, first of all, I said it from the text here. I didn't make it up. Second of all, we asked the scholars why in this ayah there's an unusual occurrence. What's the occurrence? All the rest of the Quran, from Surah Baqarah back to Surah Al-Asr, which you heard me read, use a phrase referring to this topic of those who have belief and do good deeds, because it always says aminu, which means to have the correct iman, wa aminu, which means the right deeds. Aminu wa aminu, aminu wa aminu, over and over and over and over. Many times in the Quran you find this, so many times I couldn't even count them all, except this ayah. This ayah doesn't say that. It gives action first and then belief. Listen to it again. Kuntun khayran umatun. You're the best nation. Kuntun khayran umatun ukhriju. Because you go around doing what? Armor. Now, this is the deed. The action. Go ma'ruf. Stop, and then stopping al munkar. Watu inun bila. The belief is last. Belief, in this case, became subjugated to action, and that's not possible according to Sharia. It's not possible according to Sharia of Islam. The Islamic ruling is always you must have the correct belief before the deeds are accepted. So if nobody could go out here and say, I built, for instance, a hospital, and it's free for everybody to go to the hospital forever. What a wonderful thing that is, huh? But I dedicate that to my totem pole. I did it for the sake of my soul. But will Allah accept that? Of course not. And the only thing wrong with what he did was aqidah. His belief is wrong. So we know that there has to be the right belief. So we went to the ulama. We asked them. We don't have a doubt about the Quran. We don't have any doubt here. We just want to know it tell us so we can understand how come it's like this. And that's when they told us that these two statements, calling to al-ma'ruf and forbidding munkar, are not the regular Messiah. They're not the regular righteous deeds. Because those are things like what we just said. Build a hospital, or a madrasa, a school, build a masjid, or perhaps just go out and take people's lives and do wonderful things. All those are good things, righteous things. Praying is very righteous. Fasting is good. Going for hajj, pilgrimage in Mecca, etc. All good deeds, but that in this case, this is actually meaning to call to the righteousness of Islam itself and to forbid whatever will take people out of Islam. Okay? Anything that will keep them from going to Islam or anything that will take people out of Islam. It's important to understand this because it even relates to the jihad or the fighting in Islam. Because that
time. You see, life is a very important thing at times. It's not permissible to kill people. Not at all. Without due cause, you cannot bring somebody's life to an end. The Quran tells us about this in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 32, if I'm not making a mistake, that Allah tells us that if anybody takes a life without due cause, then it's the same as they killed everybody. I mean, it's a horrible thing. So that we understand, this is referring to what actually keeps people from getting to Islam and will take people out of Islam. That's the Munkar referred to. And of course, Maruf here is talking about what will help the people to know the true Islam and what will help them come into it. And then we said, okay, we understand that, but why is it still in front of the belief in Allah? Sheikh said, how could you say if you don't call the people to the right way and you don't forbid that they go away from it, how could you then say that you believe in Allah? So it becomes a part of the condition of belief that you do. And Allah, just telling you what we know about that. So it looks pretty serious. And the next thing is, let's look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that we take him as a role model. And in fact, he says that we don't even have any belief until we do that. If you look into Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 65, Allah swears by himself. Now, earlier we heard Allah swear by the passage of time, while us. And this time he says, well, and he's not saying by anything other than himself, Rabbakum, your Lord. He said, but no, by your Lord, they can have no iman, they have no faith. I mean, they're not Muslim. They have no faith until they make you, Muhammad, a decider in their matters wherein they dispute, a judge in the areas where they have problems. And then, when you've given them the ruling or the decision, they come away from it with nothing in their heart except to say, we hear and we obey. This is plus minus translation of this ayah. I invite you to look it up. It's very interesting. Because for the benefit of those who said, well, we believe in the Quran, but we don't know about these hadith. Well, here the Quran is telling you, you don't have any choice but to accept if the hadith is good. As all of the early scholars of Islam would say, more or less the translation, if the hadith is sahih, if it's authentic, that is my method. That is my way, that's my prudence. So we accept that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now that I've introduced this authority for his teaching and his saying and his life, he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spent his whole entire prophethood, 23 years, calling the people to Amr bin Ma'ruf and forbidding Al-Munkar. That's what his life was about. And just so you'll know how it comes, we're going to talk about the logical call of the da'wah. The first thing is to know that it is an order, and we established that. He tells us, by the way, that all of the prophets who came always did exactly the same thing. They called the people to, invited them to, made da'wah, that's what the word means, invited them to the correct belief in la ilaha illallah. So this now tells you what it is that we're inviting them to. We said invitation, okay? When you send out an invitation to people to come to this place to eat or whatever, you tell them what it's for, don't you? You don't just send an invitation. Here's an invitation. Oh, that's great. And it's gold bond, and it's real nice, got pretty flowers all over it. You open it up. This is your official invitation. Wow, that's great. To what? From who? And where? Don't I get more than that? Nope, you just get a free invitation. You kind of remind me in the old days. He used to have something hand around and say, here's your free ticket. Thank you. Free ticket. You turn it over. It's not good for anything, but it is free. You know, so we don't want to hand somebody that kind of invitation. We need to know what we're calling people to. What are we calling them to? La ilaha illallah. In the Arabic language, this means there is nothing worthy of worship anywhere. Anytime. Literally, there is no God There are no gods, because it's in the plural, Elaha. There are no gods anywhere, any place, anytime, where they worship. Illa, there's that word Illa again, except Allah. And Allah has, that's the name of Allah, that's who Allah is, Allah. At the same time, it has the meaning in Arabic from the root Ila, the only thing to worship. The only one to worship. I don't like to say thing about Allah. I say the only one to worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one to worship. And that word means that as well. Allah means that because Allah cannot be pluralized. And it's the formal Allah, the only one. Can't be genderized. Can't be male or female. We say he out of respect. That's it. We don't say Allah is he, meaning anatomically correct. We're saying that he is he as a matter of respect. So, the only one to worship is what? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's what we're calling the people to. That's what he said all the prophets call the people to. And that's the message. Additionally, it carries the meaning of Muhammad al-Rasulullah in that we have to believe that Allah sent all the prophets, because this is the confirmation of all prophethood. Not only Muhammad, but all prophethood, because he is the Khatam and Anbiya, means he's the seal of all the prophets. The statement that I just made there, by the way, comes from Surah 33, Surah Al-Hashab, and the verse number 40. So you can refer to that when you're talking to folks about this and look it up. So we say, when in doubt, check it out. Alhamdulillah. So now we've established something here that we're calling the people for the worship of the one true God and all of the authority of all of the prophets. Okay? Each prophet, from Adam until Muhammad, peace be upon all of them, have the same message. Nothing new. They had something a little bit different in their daily lives, but nothing different in their worship other than La ilaha illallah, only one God to worship. In daily lives, Allah gives people different kinds of tasks. For instance, Muslims today, they pray five times a day, and they face or make a direction or qibla toward Mecca, which is in the lower western side of Arabia. However, the earlier worshippers of Allah, before Muhammad, peace be upon him, they used to direct their qibla or direction toward Jerusalem. Okay, so that changed, but it didn't change who they worshipped. Still worshipping the one true God. It's the God of Abraham, and the God of Moses, and the God of David, Solomon, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. So that we understand that. This part of calling the people to the prophethood is simply stated in Arabic by saying Muhammad al-Rasulullah, because there is nothing which survives from the earlier prophets in its completion and authenticity in the original languages to give any credibility other than what exists with Muhammad, peace be upon him. Therefore, it's not necessary to go back and try to decide what Jesus, peace be upon him, said in the Injil, and whether or not it was in the Koine Greek or the Armenian language. So it doesn't matter if it's Aramaic or Koine Greek or Hebrew. If you don't have the original, complete, extant text, then there's no sense in dealing with it, because we have in the Quran the complete and entire text, which is, of course, cover to cover, memorized by Muslims all over the world today in Arabic language. That's the complete word of Allah. It's called the speech of Allah. We'll be talking about those things a little bit more later, but this is to set up the tone of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to take a little break right about in here. We'll be back. If you're listening to Islam Today, and we're talking about Dawah, our workshop for the Muslim Students Association. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. We're back after these words.
اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون، اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
O Allah, Lord of Jibrail, Mikael, and Israfil, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Knower of the seen and the unseen, you are the arbitrator between your servants in that which they have disputed. Guide me to the truth by your leave in that which they have differed. For verily, you guide whom you will to a straight path.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the things that we'll be talking about is the way to give this da'wah, the how to give the da'wah. We're talking now about the why. We're dealing, first of all, with the why. Then we want to move to the way and the how and to whom, etc. So I hope that you'll be taking notes today, and I hope that we'll make the program palatable, easy for you to digest and enjoy the program and take benefit that we can use not only today but throughout from now on. According to the topic that we have laid in front of us, the next thing mentioned, it says, do we seek conversion or education? Let's think about that for a minute. What are we trying to do with our da'wah, our invitation? And if we said that we're trying to convert people, this would be inappropriate, because this is not what it says in the Quran. In the Quran, we find a very clear statement in Surah Baqarah. It says, La ikraha fi din. Let there be no compulsion in the way. I'm translating the word deen as being way as opposed to religion, because it would probably better be understood that the word religion could be more like mashab, whereas deen is all inclusive of everything we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed as a Muslim. Deen is what we do. Earlier in the program, before I started speaking, we heard our brother Sultan read to us from the Quran, and he read from Al-Imran, he read the very beautiful verse, Inna Dina Inna Lafi Islam. The only acceptable deen with the law is Islam. Now notice I didn't translate it yet, because if I say religion, immediately you will bring about a certain concern from those who know something about the monotheistic history. They're going to say then, oh, well, if you're saying the only religion with Allah is Islam, what about all the people who came before Muhammad, peace be upon him? Hmm? Are you saying to me that nobody before 1400 years ago could be saved? Or, you know, that's like another religion that's out there telling people that, you know, at a certain point it all came together. But actually, deen here is referring to all the monotheistic religion all the way back to Adam. Deen means, in this case, the way of life of a human being. And the only way of life a human being is going to have, acceptable to Allah, is going to be in Islam. Meaning what? Well, it's very important at this stage to have a glossary of terms. So we'll do that. We're going to have a glossary of terms and see what these words mean to us in Arabic language. Okay? First word is Islam. Let's start with that. What is Islam? Islam comes from the root salama. Inappropriately translated by many people today, Islam means peace. But it doesn't. The word for peace in Arabic is salam, and it's related to the Hebrew word in the Hebrew language, which is shalom. Shalom and salam and salama. Word for word, we have an English peace. It would be a problem for us. If this word Islam means peace, because then we would have to greet each other with the term Islam alaikum instead of Islam alaikum. So that's where we'll begin. What does Islam actually mean? From the root salama, these five words come immediately, and they are, number one, surrender. Number two, submission. Number three, obedience. Number four, sincerity, And number five, peace. So, peace is there. But this peace is understood that it's conditional. In the word Islam, the word salam within it is conditional and only works if you have the other four words. Why? Because they're directed to Allah. And it means, and I'm going to repeat the words again, the first word, surrender to Allah. Submission to Allah. Obedience to Allah. Sincerity to Allah. And then having peace between you and Allah once you've submitted, surrendered, obeyed in sincerity on His terms. So that brings us up to date on that. And I think that will help a lot while you're talking to people about Islam to give a breakdown of the word so that they can understand it. Even if you didn't say Islam, but you did Islam, it would be acceptable to Allah. Allah is not interested in your language. This is not the thing that's going to get you into paradise is to be able to speak Arabic. Trust me. Because there are many people out there who are Arabs that are not Muslims. There are Arab atheists, Arab agnostics, Arabs who are Christians and Jews. So we're not talking about the Arabic language. We're saying what it means, the meaning. So that just in case somebody throws you this hypothetical question, which I heard many times when I was speaking Christianity, they would say, well, can somebody be saved if they never heard the word Jesus? If they never heard about the Bible, and they didn't do what Christians have to do, which is to say that Jesus died for my sins, could they be saved? Well, usually the answer comes back from the folks who preach that. No way. So then how do you account for somebody that might be born in an area where the message is not being preached? For instance, somebody's on a desert island somehow and grows up there, just doesn't know anything. All he can do is recognize there must be some God. I got here somehow. Something created me. I didn't create myself. Something's taking care of me because my needs are being met. I don't know how it's happening. But whoever and whatever's doing this must be the God, and I worship that God alone, and I thank Him, and He dies in that condition, can He go to paradise? And the answer in Islam is what? He sure can. But He doesn't need to know Arabic. And He doesn't need to say any magic formula. He just needs to recognize there's a God and worship Him alone. That's what Islam stands for. That's what it means.